I'll let you guys in on a little secret. You can tell when I don't have anything to talk about for an episode when I let that play. When I let that song play good and long. Oh, that is not a big outline that we're going to be transitioning to.
Is this clean or dirty? I think a little bit of cussing would make the show go longer, wouldn't it? Get a couple extra syllables here and there.
Tragically, it has to remain clean.
You're killing me here.
We got to use this one for next week. In theory. I don't know. I mean, you're the only one who seems to be able to not potty mouth it up.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone else, it's like, yeah, I understand we're clean. And then an F-bomb 5 minutes later. I blame the casual conversational atmosphere. People.
I think it's the general raunchy content of your show that leads people to think they're in a bar room.
Yeah, they don't know how to tiptoe around and why you can say rim job. But I don't even know if you can. But we just said it early in the show, too.
Rim job. Black paper. Blackberry makers, you know?
There you go. Yeah. The jobs at a rim, yes. All right, folks, Papa's Basement. I made an effort at one point to call it the Papa's Basement Show, but I guess it's Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, so the name isn't that creepy. I'm co-hosting with Howard Lucas Flood across from me. I almost gave his full real name, but caught myself at the end there. Show site is inpapasbasement.com. Go there if you like the show. We have our every episode hosted there. It goes back, Christ, 7 years at this point. It's been a long time toiling for nothing. Nothing. What am I saying? Toiling for your entertainment.
This is the year, man.
You're profound. This is the summer of George right here.
You need to get off your ass and make it happen this year, man. 2015. Get it done, son.
It's getting done, son.
And it starts with your co-host situation.
Well, we got to do the pluggies first.
All right.
I think we're, the website, at Papa's Basement on Twitter, and subscribe to us and review us on iTunes using the podcast app for any iDevice or Stitcher if you are a weirdo with a droid, a horrible poor person, or a nerd. I don't know if the immigrant thing holds, too. I think the immigrants just are poor or nerds, so maybe it's just the poor or the nerds that use a droid. Yeah. So we got the co-host situation. It's not horribly up in the air. It's as weird as it's ever been. Howard's back, by the way, for some parts thereof. Because Othello, who you've heard the last couple of weeks, he is going to Morocco for 3 weeks to get radicalized, I can only assume. To come back with like a beard down to his man tits.
I'm going to be so pissed if appearing on your show gets me on the do not travel list.
Just looking the way I do got me there. I always tell this story, but I did 3 weeks in Greece back in like 2003 and wore nothing but like a tank top and shorts and didn't shave the whole time. And I came back looking like a biblical depiction of Jesus minus the abs, but I had like the beard and the bronze skin. And the Krauts pulled me out of line right fast. When I was flying back, they gave me the once over. Oh, yay, I'm getting a phone call. Hold on, I can't wait to... whatever, it's missed. Nah, I'll pause and check on my customer. I love this part of the show. Well, and we're back after every shred of momentum has been ripped from my body. God, like the meat from a chicken wing. What the hell was that? You get to hear just the weirdness of my customers calling me, just the mental patience.
You deal with some shady folk, man. Being a locksmith, you get some weirdos, man.
I swear to God, no one has ever asked me to like bust me into a house that clearly isn't theirs, though.
But you suspect it at times, right? Where you come up and it's like, this is questionable. You gotta like show some ID.
One time, I got a guy into the back of like a sports memorabilia shop, and he's like, I have all the documentation showing I'm co-owner, and I was like, oh, sure. I gave it a once over. I'm like, I'm not a lawyer. I guess it looks legit. And I got him inside this shop and he ran and like disarmed the alarm and then like called the owner and was like, Steve, you've had my cards too long, Steve. I'm finally taking my cards back, Steve.
Wow.
And like he just sat there for like an hour, like looking through this collection. It was very weird. That was one where I was like, I should probably leave quickly. Like, I might be committing a felony. I'm not sure. Yeah, that was, that's great. You got that to worry about. Sometimes you're trying to open a car and you're like, I'm going to break the window on this and then I'll be out several hundred dollars. in my attempt to make 80. What I'm saying is being a locksmith is awesome. And everyone should do it. Oh, my God. Yes, let's go back to the co-host thing. This is nice and simple. My stupid little radio show. My little podcast. So we had Howard, you are busy with your day-to-day work.
Yeah, I got to get back into the swing of work. I might be able to settle in this new job and make a little more time to appear on the show, but yeah.
It'd be nice. We got a rapport. No one's going to deny that. We go back and forth.
Till you start paying me, yeah, I got to find another way to make bread, man.
That does need to happen, and I will probably not be able to equal what you get for your day work.
It's not about equaling it, man. Let's just get salaries here, man. Come on,
something.
Son. Yeah.
I like that. It makes us sound a little official, like we're on the cusp of salaries. Like, just break me off some of what you're making. Yeah. Give you a big, fat lot of it. You want 100% of what I'm making? Enjoy it. It'll maybe get you a McRib. So, yeah, we got Howard, and Othello's gone for 3 weeks. That's why you won't hear him. There wasn't any weird falling out. He's in Morocco doing God knows what you do in Morocco.
But he's a radio professional, you know? I mean, he's a good guy to have on the show.
He's great. I really had a blast with him. He's like one of the dudes I got along best with at the station, in all honesty, back in the day.
Yeah, no, he sounds like your type of guy. Just kind of...
We're chill.
Floats in and out.
Yeah, we watch Netflix together.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's like having a girlfriend, except he's got a dick. So I guess that's a man friend.
So yeah, nah, it's a transitional period as, you know, you're bringing him on, and he seems to float in and out of the country from time to time, so.
He hasn't done it in a while. It magically worked that way where we finally started recording together, and he's going to be riding around on camels, whirling a scimitar above his head, because that's all I can picture going down in Morocco, and hookah smoking and playing backgammon. That's it.
Okay. But yeah, man, I do feel like this show benefits from having new people cycle in from one. Like once
good
in a while.
Ones.
Yeah.
Good ones. I'm not saying I have a ton of them. Veronica's coming back for a bit. I don't have anything to elaborate there. Veronica will be back for those that had a hard one for Veronica in the day.
I'm trying to remember what the focus group said about that. I'm trying to remember.
She had not all supporters.
The... Okay, just making sure there were some. All right.
She appealed to certain demographics.
I like when she's on the show, I'll be honest. I don't like when she gets stuck on her phone. My one complaint is there are episodes where you're clearly lecturing her to put the phone down.
Yeah, I'm going to have to like grab it and then just stack it in front of the two of us, like that dinner game. Whoever touches their phone first pays for everyone's dinner. I think they do that in Europe a lot.
Okay.
I sounded so sophisticated right there. This is what's going on in the continent right now. Yeah, we'll have Veronica back. She hasn't been on years at this point. I think she's actually like settled down with a dude and all that. So
has she? Okay.
Yeah, it's just boring. I loved hearing about her getting donged out randomly. Oh, she was the best. She was such a dullard when it came to guys.
I was telling my girl, like, I actually tell the story a lot, the episode where Veronica was trying to call you out for being more of a man whore than she is. And there was this moment where she basically admitted on air that she had slept with more people than you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She thought I was playing down my number or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm
no, that's
still hovering at 19. Oh, God.
That was a classic Papa's Basement moment. The day she set herself up for, like, well, it's a number and it's larger than John's.
That is a tension.
So there.
That is a tension in my life. Like, I need to at least hit 20, and I haven't dumped my chick and don't really plan on it. So how do we solve that conundrum? Yeah, Veronica was, we used to talk a lot about her life because she just had this type. She had this type she was obsessed with. And it was like that type she's into, the G.I. Joe gung-ho, you know, just like... I don't want to say alpha male because there's a million ways to alpha male in real life. Richard Branson is alpha silverback gorilla. And, you know, he looks like he could have sung for the Guess Who or something like he looks
right.
Like a vagrant. Like if you put a trench coat, if you dressed him like Kyle Reese from Terminator, you'd be like, why are you missing your piss smell, you dirty hobo? Like he looks like nothing. But he's as alpha as it gets because he's rich. Mick Jagger, he's alpha as hell. He could break a hip dancing. But he's you know, she likes, however, the G.I. Joe kung fu grip type alpha, military guys. And there's certain chicks just into that.
Yeah, especially in the Washington, D.C. area. I think we have a little bit of the military culture that floats around this area. And so that's what tickles the jollies of many of the women who move to Washington. It's that sort of thing that drew them here in
the
first place.
To me, it's gross. I'll be honest. Like, any chick that just, like, constantly is banging a dude who's in uniform, like, grow the F up. Really, find someone else and buy him the uniform. For a couple hundred bucks if you want to get a real nice one. For the love of God. You want to have sex with a person? Or just a rod? A mannequin with a rod?
Can you explain it? Like, what is the fascination there?
I
would understand if you're a woman in the military. Like, I have a friend, actually, who was a civilian with the military who married a guy in the military. But, you know, talking to her, it's like, well, I worked for them, and we saw each other a lot.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
No, there. I don't exactly know the psychological basis behind it. But, obviously, there's something. Like, one chick friend of mine, she's just like, her dad was in the Coast Guard, and she only bones guys in the Coast Guard. I'm like, that is goddamn disgusting.
That's pretty disturbing. Yeah.
Do you call them daddy, or do you just call them by your father's first name?
Ew.
Like, which is it?
Ew.
Like, that one really gets
That's
me.
Really disturbing.
Oh, that one is great.
It's not even other dudes from other branches. It's
no,
just the Coast Guard.
No, just Coast Guard.
Ugh.
Please. And the Coast Guard is to military is like hacky sack is to sport, by the way. It's nothing. It's a joke. Even the Navy with its gay little bell bottom spits on the Coast Guard. And they look like they're out of a YMCA, you know, village people.
Hey, man, my dad was in the Navy. What you getting at? What, your dad in the Navy?
He was in the Merchant Marine.
Okay.
And, like, I think Greek Army before
yeah.
that. So, I don't know. It was all Greek. They're probably boning each other. What do I know?
Your dad was a freaking sailor. Come on, son.
Yeah. But he was, like, really homophobic, so I don't think he did. You know, maybe he was homophobic because he had bad experiences.
I mean, he was in the sort of service where he had a lot of time in port, where there were the ladies.
Yeah. And he drained it then. And I don't want to, when I say he was homophobic, he was more just like, very much, that's not for me. Like, he worked with gay people, didn't give a crap. But, like, you know, if you even made a gay joke about him, he'd cave your face in. So, I don't know. Yeah, I don't get that type. Like, I look at me and, like, who I get with, and a friend says the same thing about himself. It's like, my type is attractive, at least somewhat attractive. Like, that's all I really go for. It's like, are you into black chicks? Sure. Is she hot? Sure. Are you into Asian girls? Oh, is a pretty Asian girl? Why not? All right, do you like blondes? Ah, okay, sure. You know, Christie Brinkley, Viva America. Like, they can be offbeat personality-wise. Like, usually, I'll tell you the type of girls that are okay with me, and I think it's just because of, like, how I dress and because I'm a laid-back slob for the most part. I don't get many girls who are really heavy into makeup. Like, they use some, but not a lot. And they're usually, like, t-shirt and jeans chicks, which is fine by me. You really think I want some, like, club rat who takes 5 hours to get... Do you see me as being okay with that?
Honestly, if you slept with one of those girls, I think the next morning you would shudder. You'd just be horrified in what she looked like without her face painted.
Yeah, because I'd be like, you are very much a bunch of downside, but your cool part is you put on your war paint, and you put on your Wonder Bra, and you know how to wear a thong, and, like, you dress up like something sexy. You know, you're something out of fantasy. I've seen you in pornos before.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the next day when you're just stuck with some snoring log, and she wakes up and your breath smells like ass and ugh.
Now it's just, oh, I gotta go. Like, this image of perfection has now been destroyed and it will never go back.
Trying to think if I've been with any, like, really clubby, like, I don't know how I bagged this chick. Type girls, maybe once or twice or something. It does, you know. It must have been no repeat business.
This goes back though to going back to like girls with a type where it fits a particular mold. I don't think they're just looking for one and dones, is what you're describing, right? There's not like the I'm just constantly like sleeping with a bunch of different dudes who fit this mold. It's like no, I'm basically cycling through a series of boyfriends who fit this mold, right?
Yeah, it.
And that's different
it's
from what you're describing,
because, okay,
though.
Veronica, I'm not throwing her under any buses here. We were open about this on air. She's roughly my age. I'm about to turn 34. She probably just turned 34 or something like that. And so we were chilling on air, I would say, right when she was 30, 31.
Yeah.
And she decided to, like, get in much better shape than what she was for a long time. And she, I don't know, she, for whatever reason, dyed her hair from blonde to brunette, even though, like, the military type, don't they just want, like, the blonde Miss America? You know what I'm saying? Like, don't they just want the thin blonde? Am I missing something here?
That's racist, like, what you're saying. You're just, like, saying they're all the same, man.
I am.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I don't think that's true.
But she got in decent shape. I'm not saying she was real thin or some crap, but she was fine. And it was like for 2 years, once she got like thin and was all manhunting and crap, she just any guy in uniform who was like, yes, let's be somewhat serious together, like, okay. And then she was like, I have a boyfriend now. It was like a chick on the playground almost. You know, so like it was weird, like, do you want to be my boyfriend? Okay. Oh, we're boyfriend and girlfriend now. And you just run around and tell all the other kids that you're dating on the playground. And the guy's like, I didn't realize that was happening, but okay.
Yeah, nah, but I mean, hey, she's going for steady tail at that point. Whereas, like,
she was getting it a lot. If the chick's goal was dong, she was getting it.
But it's steady. Like, you know, it's not just moving from one guy to the next immediately.
No.
It's like an attempt to see how long this lasts.
Yes.
Whereas I feel like you were describing something different as far as, like, your type is attractive. I mean, yeah, you would stick your dick in anything that you found hot.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And, like, anyone, and then if you stick around, it's like someone has to be kind of laid back and, like, at least somewhat interesting conversationally. That's it. Just
yeah,
don't,
but, I mean,
don't give me crap. Be okay to talk to and be all right looking.
How often have you had that moment where, like, after you slept with someone, you realize that it's probably not worth the effort needed to, like, deal with them between now and when you sleep with them again?
I mean, a lot, dude. I've had a lot of chicks where I banged them once and that was it.
And it's just like, oh, you're still talking. Like,
yeah.
This, no. Gotta go.
And I'm not saying that, like, I'm some great, like, oh, I played them and it. No, I'm a nut. And, like, I would chat with a bunch of chicks online in the day and we would finally hang out, like, God knows how long after the fact, because I'd just be working so many at once. I didn't care how long any one took to pay
That's
off.
How internet dating works.
Dude, yeah, I was just sitting on IM, like, talking to five broads while I looked at porn.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is what I do every night. What do I care if you take a year to pay out? And then, like, half the time, yeah, they'd finally one night just be depressed or whatever and be like, yeah, I'll take you up on coming over. And then I'd bone them, and, like, half the time my performance would suck, and I'd just be like, yeah, I don't want to repeat that. And the other half, I just really didn't care for them.
Yeah. And then occasionally, though, like, if there was something more there, you'd go after it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That I was a nut bar, and if I liked them just the next day, I was like, hey, remember how we had sex last night? Let's do it again. Sounds fun.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm sure
I would wear out my welcome after 2 weeks, because that was my speed. I either banged a chick once and we really were not particularly cool after that,
yeah,
or at least, like, we never had encores, or it was like for 2 weeks I had sex with them 10 times and then we never talked again. Like, I had two speeds back in my mid-20s and late-20s, I guess.
But yeah, it's more that second category where you're getting relatively steady ass.
Yeah, she was trying for that.
But that's why it's different when you talk about a chick who has a type.
Yeah.
They're looking for that on the regular. Whereas when you just talk about, like, I find chicks attractive.
Yeah.
You were talking about whether you will have sex with them once.
Yeah, no, no, I get what you're saying. And I want to think that, like, I do have, like, an archetype. Or I have an overriding like, if I had to pick one type of broad
that you
go to my head physically.
Not that you just
physically.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about girls that you like to have sex with, or girls that you actually want to,
now,
like,
if I could just, like, draw, like, my dream chick, like, Weird Science style.
See, but you're not telling me if you just the dream chick, like, to bang her once, or what, for 2 weeks? Like, what are you talking about here?
Oh, I guess to stick around with, or isn't it both, though? Don't you, like, the same chick that you really want to bang that one time, don't you want to keep banging it?
Usually not, no.
Oh, okay. See, I...
Didn't
I,
you read Wilt the Stilt's biography, man? Come on. Come on.
What, condoms are the devil? And
no.
Short Asian women rule?
His whole theory is, like, we talk about this on the show once in a while, easier to sleep with 1,000 women one time than one woman 1,000 times. I don't care how you draw your perfect woman. What is she for? What are you going to do with her, man? A day, 2 weeks.
Okay, well, I would just, let's just say my ideal of physical perfection then.
Yeah.
I like dark hair, dark eyes. Skin can either be olive or like really white. There you go. That's what I like.
But after 2 weeks of that, are you going to be like,
36.
What's my perfect black chick look like?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, dude.
I'm feeling kind of Asian flavored this week.
Dude, yeah.
Korean or Japanese?
To be in a committed relationship, let's be honest, you are sacrificing, I'm not sure, I would gather 80% of what men enjoy in sex, which is just the going out and conquering new stuff. There's no ifs, ands, and buts around it, and women will never in a million years, this will sound sexist as hell, and some girls will be like, well, I'm a dirty whore, I love it from every dick I can get my hands on. Good for you. You make the world a better place. But I really do think women are just cool with a dude, like one guy. Like the prospect of just being like, I am going to only sleep with this one guy for the rest of my life. I'm not saying they can do it in the long haul. I'm not saying they won't cheat. Like, chicks cheat a lot.
Yeah.
But just the prospect of that tossed out there does not send a woman into a cold sweat. The way like a dude, like if you just walked up to me and like, dude, you'll never have sex with anyone but your current chick again, I would lose my mind. Like I read the Grimora, you know, like I gazed upon the face of Cthulhu or something. Like I'd flip, man. Like I looked at the Ark of the Covenant.
I'll put it this way.
I can't wrap my head around that.
I'll put it this way. Like, so I had this discussion with an older anonymous person.
Yeah.
Does have an Ivy League degree, so, you know, this is not a dumb person.
Okay.
And the way he described it for me is that, you know, in terms of just describing human nature based on the sexes, you know, men versus women.
Mm-hmm.
For men, because, like, what is the theory behind cheating for people? For men, there's this idea of polygyny, you know? You just want, like, as many different women as possible.
Yeah.
That's what's going on in men's head. For women, when they're like looking for another dude than the one they're with, I guess the term is hypergamy, where it's just looking for a better replacement for what you currently have. So like when women step out, they're looking to replace the existing one, but they're happy with the idea of one.
Yes.
Kind of just to connect it back to what you just said. So that's the working model that has been described to me as far as, yes, people from both genders can cheat. However, like, there's a different model
ways.
Behind it.
I think a dude, the average guy, is like, I just want to go out and bust my nut and then run right back to what I had. I just need my dick played with once in a while.
You watch too much Sopranos.
I guess that's how I know that I'm wired a little differently, because I see what, like, Tony Soprano does in that show. I'm like, well, is this like a critique of him, or are we just celebrating him for doing what I think should be done in a marriage? Like, you know, when Carmella bitches about him, about his affairs, and he's like, I'll get a vasectomy. It's never like, I'll stop cheating. It's just like, I'll pull out. I mean, what do you want me to do? I'm gonna go up in this Russian broad, this Cuban Italian chick. They're going to get banged, but I'll work with you. I mean, I don't get how the prospect of just one chick the rest of your life, man, that scares the piss out of me. And it's like, I think any woman would hear that and take it so deeply and personally. And you have to explain, in no way would there ever be a woman I encountered where I wouldn't feel that. Like, you could give me Katy Perry wearing her little Super Bowl outfit.
Right.
Even the hotter one. Give me the jungle outfit from Roar, where her cans are like up to her chin. Like, I'm not going to be happy with that my whole life. She could never age. She could be fembot Katy Perry. And I'm not saying this like I'm some 10. I'm a slug. Even the fattest, grossest guy, as long as he gets the game, as long as like he's ever gone out and gotten any chick for himself, and like this isn't the first time he's ever had a woman, and he's like, oh my God, I'll never get this again. Like, he's just going to want more. He's going to want different. That's it.
It's like the first time I beat the final boss in Zelda 2. Yeah. I said to myself, what game is next?
Yeah, I mean, I like that voice. That should just be a character for the rest of the show. But that's it. The only guys, here's what, the only guys that really will stay loyal are the type of dudes that chicks don't want to screw. The ones that do it with ease are the psychopaths who just get completely and utterly invested in one girl. And maybe this is just a window into what a piece of crap I am, the way I'm describing a guy who can stay monogamous as a psychopath. But I do view it, there are some guys who just, they don't know how to go out there and slay. They don't know how to go out there and make a woman laugh and get a number. This is all foreign to them. Whenever the phrase getting lucky, that really is what it is, getting a chick's number to them. It's blind luck. Somehow the stars aligned and some girl took it upon herself to be aggressive enough with him and give him her digits. But I think any guy who knows the game, who's gone out there a little bit and knows how to seduce a woman or two, even if you got a great one, it's hard not to want more.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely...
There's so many simple analogies for it. It's like, name your all-time favorite pizza. Good, that's the only pizza you'll have the rest of your life. In 2 months, you'll be like, give me a Domino's. But Domino's tastes like crap. Dude, just give me one. I need one.
No, man, I talked to... I have an uncle and an aunt who've been married over 50 years.
Yeah.
That's a long-ass time.
What do they do? How have they not killed each other?
His advice to me was just, like, they didn't want a 50-year anniversary celebration because... And his explanation behind it was, like...
There's nothing to celebrate.
He was like, you know what that is? You want 50 years of marriage is? A lot of hard work every day. That's what he said.
Who wants hard work? I have a cell phone, a smartphone, so that I don't have to work hard. It does everything for me.
I guess that's the problem today, man. Most people are just like, you know what? Like, what's the point?
And I honestly don't know what it is. Like, I completely think that, like, all social media have remapped interactions, romantic interaction, in a way that has never happened throughout human history. Like, maybe the first thing on par with this was, like, when the Quest for Fire days ended, and you're like, oh, that chick's hot. I'm going to rape her. I'm going to get a club and rape her. And, like, laws were laid down where it's like, you can't do that anymore. And you're like, what? That might have been the only other change in mating rituals on par with the ability to just, like, go on Tinder. If you, like, you can get in one fight with your girl and just go on Tinder and be like, yes, 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 and see who fights back. That's it. We've never had that in all of human history, dude. You used to just be like a serf working the land. And if you got into a fight with your bitch wife, so what? You went back to your shack with her and slept in the mud next to a pig. That's it. That was it. You had nothing. You slept next to livestock, next to a woman you hated. You couldn't just go on Village Tinder. If you banged some other chick, they were taken. There was a community. You either screwed someone's daughter, in which case it got around, or you screwed their wife, in which case, either case, they're probably killing you.
Or you just, like, got the village together and said, we should invade another village.
Yes, exactly. And then we can rape. Remember when we did that 500 years ago? It ruled.
It's not illegal in other villages.
Exactly. Spoils of war. No, it's heavy stuff, man.
But that's why, like, yeah, it's harder today in ways just because, you know, access on the internet. I spoke with a priest once about this. And, you know, they listen to people's confessions all the time. And quite honestly, ask any priest, what is more dangerous to the definition of marriage today? Two dudes getting together or internet porn? And guess what? I think they'll all just tell you, honestly, it's internet porn.
What if it's internet porn of two dudes who got together?
But no, it's just, it's a lot harder when you have, like, naked people who are not my spouse on demand.
I'll be honest, I swear to God, that's like the one thing that can keep it in a dude's pants. But it's because in his cerebellum, he's cheating. Like, your base brain, the lizard part of your brain, just is like, I'm feeling an orgasm coming, and I'm looking at that. I just cheated.
I don't, man, I honestly feel like one of the big problems we have today, one of the reasons why people do feel the need to just resort to sex whenever they're not at work or even while they're at work, is like our jobs are highly unskilled now. Like, what are the technical abilities that we have in modern, like, white-collar world?
So you're saying if I could put a shoe together with my bare hands, I'd be all about monogamy?
I guess you're actually a horrible example of this because you do actually have...
Like, I have a trade.
And you I'm a
horrible being, yeah. Horrible example, horrible being, horrible
But I mean,
boyfriend.
Like, you don't have... Well, you sort of do. You do have a hobby that could take your time. But I mean, even looking at what you do with Radio Man, like... No offense, but you put less than 10 hours a week into, like, a craft that I think you would have a lot of fun if you spent 25 to 40 a week doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just wish I had any sense that it could ever pan out.
Well, I mean, just... I'll put it this way. Like, instead of actually trying to see what would happen with 25 to 40 hours a week, you just wank instead. Like, instead of actually,
no,
like...
No, I've...
Really?
I actually really stopped that. Like, for whatever reason, I started meditating and, like... 3 days later, all urges to look at porn have died, or like 90%
so
of
them. What are you doing with your time? Because you used to spend a lot, like, I have you on record on this show saying a minimum of 15 hours a week was spent on porn within the past year.
I am down to a once-a-day 10-minute tug.
What are you doing with your time now that you're not?
I mean, I'll be honest, I almost have, like, too many plates in the air. Like, productive plates, though. Like... All right, so I've been booking more guests and trying to, like, appear on other shows with this. So yeah. I guess that's some radio extra time. Two friends and myself were designing a couple apps. Like, I can't program for crap, so a couple of us came up with ideas, and then we're getting guys to program them. I'm working on that. The comic I do, The Spookies, we've been putting more time into that, trying to promote that. But I don't know. I've been reading a lot, too, on how to write screenplays because I really want to bang one of those out. So I read a couple hours a day instead of tugging it.
That's all decently productive, and it sounds like you might actually end up writing a screenplay soon. I actually believe you when you say that suddenly. I didn't when you said it earlier today, but...
No, yeah. As long as I got to meditate today. I skipped it yesterday because the Super Bowl. What do you want me to do?
Right.
But, like, yeah, as long as I keep that up, it keeps my hand off my prick while I look at the computer. And, it's like, I don't know. Whatever it does, it kills my urge for porn for the most part.
Yeah.
It keeps me damn productive.
But, yeah, so going back to it, man, I think, like, the biggest problem people have today is they don't have, like, a creative outlet. So, like, their minds just naturally gravitate towards sex.
Yeah. I think, honestly, we are not just sex, but love, too. Don't you think... We are sold the notion of romantic love, which, of course, entails hot sex as well. No one ever thinks of, like, romantic love in the, you know, medieval time sense where it's like, I know you're a knight's wife, but I'll write you this sonnet.
Right.
Like, what was it? Eloise and Abelard or whatever?
Right.
That, yeah, that kind of crap. But we do think of that as, like, a panacea. It's like, my entire life sucks. Even Office Space. Which I love, and it's the most insightful movie. Like, it, goddamn, if it doesn't tell you what office work is.
Right.
But what does it, in the end, sell Peter on how to get out of it? Just get serious with Jennifer Aniston. Like, isn't that the most cop-out aspect of that movie?
Yeah.
Like, his life sucks, and he hates his job. And it's like, well, become a construction worker and bang a hot girl. Like, that everything is so dead on in that movie until it gets to that point. I want to see, like, during the credits where Peter's had 6 months and his hands are blistered and he has shot discs in his back.
Right.
And his chick doesn't want to bang him anymore. And she's like, I hate the salary you make, Mr. Construction Worker Peter.
Why can't you go back to the white collar job that paid you more?
Yes.
Yeah.
Peter solves nothing at the end of Office Space.
Yeah. It's one of the big complaints that David Byrne had in writing a lot of the lyrics for Talking Heads.
Mm-hmm.
Because his biggest complaint is that in the United States, you know, this is a problem that was very evident in the 80s, and, you know, it only continues to get worse in many ways. It's that fact that for Americans, it's an ability to overlook the boringness of a white-collar job by completely... saturating yourself in, like, the personal drama that your friendships and, like, relationships with
and it's all white noise.
Yeah.
It's all white noise, dude. It's just entanglements that keep you from focusing. So many people know something they want to do, and then I sit them, you know, you sit them down, and it's like, why can't you do that? And they can list all the reasons they can't, but it's all BS. Like David Byrne pointed out. It's all he said, she said dramas.
But, I mean, there's, like, this reinforcement of, oh, I'm doing the right thing in my life because I finally realized I can't put my job before the people in my life. And as long as I care about the people in my life and don't really think about starving children in Africa, then I'm happy. Life is good. Don't worry about it. The government will take care of it. You know, that's kind of the message there, where it's just like you're not really thinking of the fact that there are some people really pissed off at what our government does overseas, where they'll end up committing an act of terror that suddenly blindsides America. Like, oh my gosh, they went after the Twin Towers.
Yeah, because they hate our freedoms. They hate our freedoms, Howard. Don't you know it?
Like, we're just going to ignore the fact they tried to do this in 94. Like, the same people. You know, like
same building, everything. Yeah.
You know, grunge was out then. I was busy looking at other, magazines. People didn't look at, like, websites at that point.
No.
Really. I mean, AOL, maybe.
There was Megadeth Arizona, and that was, like, one of three websites at the time. And everyone was like, why does Megadeth have a website? And they're like, we think we're onto something with this.
So, yeah, no, it's just that, like, insulation of yourself from the world that actually exists beyond what you know.
Yeah.
And just, like, being forced within that small bubble, making that choice that the people in my life are more important than the things I do. And that's sort of, like, one of the issues I think we have in the country.
Yeah, and that sounds cold in some ways. To be like, look, I need to do important things and not just be entangled in Facebook BS 24/7. Someone might hear that and be like, what, you don't care about your friends? And it's like, how about I care about them by like making something of myself and dragging them along with me? Drake gave the blueprint. He started at the bottom and now he's here.
He started at the upper middle class. And
exactly, yeah.
Full baller. No, I mean, you only have to like go out and like feed the starving children. I'm saying like take up woodworking or something. You know what I mean? It's just find something to do other than like fill your life with personal dramas.
Dude, just, I can't tell you, and don't get me wrong, if anything, meditation has revealed the stark contrast in the rest of my life that I spend glued to my phone, and I can't get enough just oversaturation. Let me look at Craigslist for crap I want to buy. Let me look at Pro Football Talk for the fifth time in 20 minutes. Yeah. I mean, let me look at a Magic card website. Let me look at Sports Illustrated. It's just never ending. Who texted me? Who Facebooked me? Who Twittered me? This is all filling your head with crap. And then for like 20 or 30 minutes a day, I just sit down and I think about nothing or as much as I can, nothing. You would be amazed at the profound impact that has on the rest of your day. Just taking that one breather, you realize how every minute is just jamming some crap into you so you don't have to think, you don't have to feel, because we're just afraid of doing any of it. We're afraid of really being left on our own. We always say, I would if only, I would do this if only, I would do that if only. And you sit down and you strip yourself of that artifice and you're like, just sit down and shut up. And you realize so quickly, you could do so much without these distractions in your life. It's you holding you down.
I mean, I guess my version of meditation right now is I'm learning to play bass. I've played guitar since I was 16, and I suck at it. And what I've found is that because I have decent sense of rhythm, you know, I'm not fully white, so I have one of those.
I was a drummer, so that's how I got mine.
I think when Africa invaded Greece a few thousand years ago is how you got your rhythm.
That too. I wish I got more than the rhythm.
But I will say this, like, I'm finding that I'm a competent bass player. I'm not going to say I'm good. I'm not even going to say I'm decent. I'm competent.
But you're doing something. You're working on a craft, and it pulls you out of just this torrent of, dude, it's all about destroying our ability to pay any attention. That is the modern world. It's just, we can't even play video games anymore. We can't even play, like, old school Nintendo video games anymore. Now it's just like, I need to play Angry Birds, which is done in 10 to 30 seconds while I take a crap. You can't even take a crap without something blasting color and noise in your face. It's insane. I'm saying this like I've unplugged. Hell no! I'm going to go home, and while I'm driving, I'm still going to, like, text and drive. And I'm probably going to bang out at least, like, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes of Netflix or something like that. But it's...
Yeah, like, right after the Super Bowl, I was checking Pro Football Talk every 5 minutes just to see, like, what new press conference
I drank a bunch of coffee Sunday morning. I was up, I'm not exaggerating, until 2:30 clicking on Reddit, NFL, and Pro Football Talk until I was sure everyone was asleep.
Yeah.
And then finally, I was like, I guess I can pass out. And I was up at 7 like a maniac. Like, I sleep like a Coke addict right now. I don't know what's going on.
But no, I find I'm much happier when I have a craft. And I got to say, just looking back at your own life example, I mean, no matter what's been going on in your life for the last 7 years, you have had, I'd say, at least 5 hours a week dedicated to Papa's Basement, if not 10.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, like, you've had this outlet that no matter how little income it's brought to you at this point.
It's its own form of meditation. I'll be honest. Like, people, they can hear this after the fact, and it sounds like calculated, and, oh, he thought of this at the, you know, at the right time, and he said that at the right time. To be good, even competent, it's so stream of consciousness, dude. Like, I have a split second, maybe I'll come up with something that I want to say, but even that sounds forced.
Well, that's why I like with the format you've come up with, and this is, I think, one reason why people like hearing me on your show, is because I've been talking to you since fifth grade, and so I get you, mostly. We disagree on things,
you
but
get me,
that's
dog.
Part of the fun.
Yes.
At any rate, like, you need co-hosts, going back to the original topic we started with on the show, you need co-hosts who bring the best out of you.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the format that is the reality of, like, whatever Papa's Basement show continues to exist in the future. We've gotten you better about prep. I think every co-host you've had on has consistently complained to you, I hate it when we just start and you didn't tell me what we're talking about. Because I think for all of us, the worst episodes are when you're like, hey, did you see in the news? Actually, no, you didn't mention it before we got on the mic. If you just let me look at the page on TMZ first, this would have been a much better episode. You know, I mean, you stop doing that. You stop doing that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, not everyone wants to Mike O'Mara it and come in at 2:59 or LeVar Arrington it.
But I remember a few episodes that we did with Irina. Irina and I, like, used to team up and you'd be like, no, give us the whole outline. And those were not necessarily great shows when we outlined a full episode. So, like, there's that healthy medium for you where, like, we have a topic list. We do a little pre-discussion, not too much. A nice phrase you picked up. I forget your podcast friend who runs Save It for the Show. But
Dan, at Dan the Beast.
He was definitely a positive influence on you since that episode. I think you're really good now at explaining to me why we need to stop talking about a topic before the show. Because you do just say, save it for the
save
show,
for
and
the
yet
show.
I understand it better since, like, you told me about that appearance. So I'm more comfortable now with, like, how much time do you think we spend on prep now on average?
I mean, lately it's been during the week I typically write things down.
I like that, see, because you do that before you get here.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, when we sit down and you talk to your co-hosts about these are the topics of the day.
Oh, I don't know, 5-10 minutes.
As long as you come in with those topics instead of, like, oh, hey, what do you guys want to talk about today?
Yeah. And then I do my own thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, it's hard to get, like, our topics.
Although this was yours. You wanted to do the co-host thing, and somehow that evolved into we should all meditate and drop out.
Well, the reality today was, I guess we're close to the end of the episode. Today was one of those days where, like, you showed up and we're like, crap, I didn't really prepare.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, what can I say? I didn't have much to write down during the week. I was Super Bowl obsessed.
We were Super Bowl obsessed this week. We do a football show, by the way, which concluded today for the in-season
portion, in terms of actual live-action coverage, there are no secret NFL games, folks. It did end with the Super Bowl. Papa's Football Podcast, pfpod.com.
We're not hypocrites who don't listen to ourselves. We actually, like, did put a lot of time in for the football show this week, so that was a little bit of a reason why.
That was the one that I did all the writing for.
Yeah.
Like, it's the goddamn Super Bowl show. Like, what do you want of me? I want to make it passable, and it was great. And I'm not saying this was bad. This pretty much, I feel like, was Joe Rogan minus, like, advocating mescaline use. And some L.A. comedian coming in. Yeah. Minus the mushrooms and Ari Shaffir. This was a Rogan episode. Well, do you want to... What else? I had gotten into talking Roseanne, speaking of the Netflix that I don't watch anymore. Ha 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 ha. I was talking about my chick is like obsessed with Roseanne lately. And it's weird because I am dating a four-year-old. Right. So I'm like, you didn't grow up with Roseanne the way I did. Roseanne premiered, what, 89? So we were like 8, 9.
Yeah, John Goodman played her husband, for those who are unaware of this. I mean, should we feel guilty? Is it a guilty pleasure to watch Roseanne?
No. Okay. I feel it's. You're right, though. Maybe we do have to explain Roseanne somewhat, that it's now on Netflix and people just see it up against like some BBC show that had 6 episodes and they have no idea what it mattered. Right. Roseanne was like one of those ratings juggernauts back when ratings juggernauts existed. And it wasn't like, here's a guy with a beard who makes a duck caller and he'll get 11 million viewers. Roseanne would have spit on 11 million viewers. Roseanne would have done a murder-suicide with John Goodman if any episode of hers was 11 million viewers. Like, that's what TV was 25 years ago, kids. So the whole premise of the show, which for whatever reason, you were saying you did watch.
Yeah.
When it was on. I didn't. I think
it was touch and go. It wasn't always great. It's one of those shows where it had good seasons. It would dip down, you'd think it'd be done, and it came back. It managed to like come full circle a few times and save itself from just becoming completely mediocre. So
I don't know if we almost saw it as a Married with Children-esque in my house, but it was like, which my dad hated, by the way. That's what I mean by that. Not that it was some dumb, you know, punchline setup cadence to the show, but it was. I don't know. There's something down to earth and like working class, which wasn't explored a ton on Married with Children. They were just like, we're really poor. But they never connected A to B on Married with Children. It was never, we are poor because the economy sucks. We are poor because Al only works as a shoe salesman. He was just a shoe salesman buffoon because it was like a buffoonish job.
Right.
Roseanne was like, dude, I got respect for that broad. I'm not saying I can really stand her or like her a ton, but she came out and was like, I'm doing a show for poor people. I was poor, and I'm going to show America what it's like for the most part to be poor. And like white poor, which by the way, it was okay to be poor on TV if you're black. You had good times,
yeah,
and they were dead broke living in Cabrini Green. Over in Chicago, but they were black. You know, all of a sudden it was like, oh, poorness didn't go away in the 70s, and white people can be poor. Isn't this mind-blowing, middle America?
Yeah.
And they put that out there as a product, and it was so gutsy. And she put, like, a lot of gay folks on her show, and there were, like, storylines. Didn't the sister go gay at one point, or the mom went gay?
I can't remember now, yeah. It's been so long since I watched that show. I mean, again, it's a sitcom, so like the overarching plot lines are really hard to remember. It's just a show that delivered what it was every episode, and I think it did a fairly good job of that.
But she, I think, in real life, had 2 siblings, a brother and a sister, and both were gay. And she was like, screw it, man. Real life is gay people. My show's got gay people, too.
Right.
That's just ballsy, man.
Yeah.
Like, she could have been the Fresh Prince, where it was like, well, you're going, Roseanne, you're going to move with some rich relatives, but have some street smarts that you bring to things. But don't worry, everyone's rich.
I mean, and then other than the son, I thought the daughters, they did a good job with their storylines of growing up.
Yes.
So
they weren't believable. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still a sitcom.
Yeah.
You watch it and everyone just kills. Everyone's funny as ass. There isn't one missed word. They all slay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying it's the most realistic thing on earth, but the depictions of her just working in a factory at a crap job, you know, the money problems constantly talked about. Dad doesn't go off to work every day. Sometimes dad's on the couch and it's a source of stress. I don't know why the hell I wasn't huge on that show as a kid.
But you made a strange comment before the show that, you know, this is pre-Seinfeld sitcom.
Yes.
And so ever since then, we really haven't had a proper successor to Roseanne.
I really don't think so. What are you gonna say, Modern Family or some crap where they're living in some god knows what semi mansion?
It's
only a Mick mansion they're in. Ooh,
yeah.
They're toughing it out. No, I was saying beforehand, I almost feel Seinfeld in a lot of ways ruined TV. Not that it wasn't an amazing show. But it's the same way everything that followed it sucked and was derivative.
Everybody goes to college on television now.
Everybody, dude, when did you see a show 10 years after Seinfeld that didn't take place in a New York apartment? When? Yeah. Cost wasn't mentioned, by the way. And they worked like crappy, low-paying jobs a lot of times. It was like, oh, I can't believe I'm a waitress. And then she's up in her penthouse, her bungalow.
Season 3, yeah.
For the indoor scenes. I mean, it was asinine. There's no families. We did away with the families. It almost sent this message, I swear to Christ, and I'm not a conspiracy dude. Gosh, it really is the Rogan Show. I'm not like a big conspiracy guy, but it almost seemed like you saw single people living affluent lives, and they could sell you the desire for that, but you never saw kids. Again, there were single people. You didn't really see kids in this mix. And I swear some of that was like, hey, doesn't it look great living in New York? And like, don't you want all this neat crap? What don't they have here? A wife and kids. You make the logical leap. We're not going to spell it out, but wink, wink.
I mean, How I Met Your Mother, they had a big transition as, you know, Marshall and Lily moved out to the suburbs because they had a kid.
Again, not an economic thing, though. We just want a backyard. Money's not an issue.
Yeah.
We just want a backyard for little Felix or whatever the F his name was. Or if it's a girl, I don't know.
I mean, two broke girls, one of them used to be rich, and now she's poor again.
Oh, wow, I feel for her. What an American story. Like all those Mexican immigrants that's come over, and they used to be rich, and now they're poor. Yeah. They're huge Latin following for two broke girls, I bet. Just a story that resonates, my friend. Yeah, man, there's nothing that's like, and the country's poorer than ever. Like, that is not some commie talk crap. Wages have been stagnant really since the 80s. And you can say whatever you want with Obama being like, ah, the economy has come back. Maybe it has. It's come back for really crap jobs. If you want to count a dude working 34 hours at Walmart per week so he doesn't get benefits, ha 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 ha. And he makes $9 an hour, and you want to compare that to like an industrial job where a guy used to weld a car together and make like the equivalent of $90K, and he had 4 weeks of vacation. Sure, go right ahead. They're the same thing. You know, it's asinine, dude.
But I mean, I will say this in the current economy. I haven't watched a lot of it. It's not my favorite show, but it definitely has been a very popular one, and I think it fills the void. And it's somewhat comedic. They're bringing back Saul Goodman for his own show now. I don't know how that's going to be.
Oh yeah, but Better Call Saul.
Breaking Bad has probably been the closest to filling like that representation of people who are like, screw this. You don't pay me enough. I'm gonna make meth.
Yeah, but what a flight of fancy it takes. The guy then becomes like a huge drug dealer.
Yeah.
And not even like the realistic, like if you want that show to be realistic, he stays small time.
Yeah.
He never gets paid, and then an informant sets him up and he's doing 25 years and his family loses their house.
Yeah.
And that's it.
No, that's true. I mean, that is true. It's it's been lean times for the story of like, I mean, even Made with Children doesn't have a parallel today, does it?
Not God, nothing's leaping out at me, you know? What, Always Sunny?
Somewhat, yeah.
Not the family structure, like Always Sunny. Even Always Sunny is kind of BS, though. Like, as much as I love that show,
yeah,
they're never shown successfully working. Like, every fifth episode, they have a good day at the bar.
Yeah.
And yet, they still have apartments and crap.
Yeah.
I'm like, show me where that happens, because Philly is not expensive, it's not cheap.
It's fairly affordable, man.
I
find their setup
the
somewhat
city,
believable.
In the city, you're probably paying like a K. For a, I mean, what, we're Frank and Charlie, and we're splitting a one bedroom and playing night crawlers and pooping in the same shared bed? Maybe.
Right.
I don't know. It's depressing, dude. Where did that? There's no way to wrap that up with a neat bow. I don't even know what I said. I just talked for the last 45 minutes.
Just to wrap up about Roseanne, I think any concluding thoughts about the direction the TV's taken since Seinfeld. Is there some great hope you have for the next great sitcom as authored by John Papagiorgio?
Sorry. No. I'm not laughing and saying no to that. I was like looking for an analogy of what I did, And I remember the end of Anchorman 2, where for like one sentence, Brick is like, Ron, your hubris has cost you. And he says something completely lucid and deep. And it's like, Brick, what? And he's like, I want hot dog. And they're like, ah, Brick. that's how I feel. I mean, that is all I would want to write, dude. I would just want something that deals about the man screwing you. But now, what, NBC is owned by GE, is owned by God knows what. So who would put it on? Who would put it on? Same way CNN is owned by Time Warner, is owned by this. Why would they put anything that doesn't want you to buy crap on?
I hate to admit it, but I watched an Amazon Prime show recently, which I
enjoyed
greatly.
Was it Transparent?
No.
Was Hank Kingsley sporting some tees?
No, I watched Mozart in the Jungle.
What is that?
Oh, you haven't heard of this?
It's, No, what?
It's based on the memoirs of a woman who played with the New York Symphony.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's just, it's multiple generations of actors, including, say, Malcolm McDowell, Bernadette Peters, and then a couple of younger actors. They basically cross the spectrum of adulthood. They even have a kid in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got all classes as well, because, you know, musicians aren't exactly the most wealthy of individuals before they make it to the symphony. So this follows the story of a woman who is trying to get into the symphony. And so she starts off rather broke, and as she gets her first job with the symphony, is exposed to like all the massively wealthy donors who like fund the New York Symphony. So it's got a lot of things going on, but yeah, it tilts towards a world that most Americans are unfamiliar with. I think that's one reason I enjoy this kind of story, because, you know, there's music mixed in with like stories of like massive wealth and the occasional story about like a broke artist in New York as well. But, you know, all this is still kind of far away from what you're describing. But I don't know, man, maybe Amazon and Netflix are the place that are most likely to show a television show about broke ass people, though.
Yeah, for some reason, HBO, that's the one territory it hasn't explored.
Because anything that's premium channel, do you think?
Even Jon Snow lives in a castle.
Gotta have money to pay for those premium channels, man. Netflix and Amazon don't come free.
Yeah, it's true, but it's not that much.
Yeah.
It's the cost of supersizing for like a week. It's worth it. All right, well, I guess we can wrap this one up. We hit the magic hour. Again, Christ knows what was said, but hope you enjoyed it. I'm John Papagiorgio. He's Howard Flood. This was Papa's Basement Show, hosted at inpapasbasement.com. If you want to subscribe to it, please, 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 if you made it this far, it means you like the show. I am talking to you now, the person on the other side of this speaker. Tell your friends about us. Word of mouth. That's like how it gets noticed. And we're doing all right. Don't get me wrong. The numbers have gone up lately, and I'm very happy about that. But tell your friends. Be evangelical about us. That is what I want you to do. Go out there. Convert. Get me those souls, damn you. Show site in papasbasement.com. It hosts our every episode we've ever done, as well as my writing. So you never miss an episode. Look us up on the podcast app on any iDevice, or use Stitcher on any Droid device. I believe there's also Stitcher for the iThingy, but just use the podcast app instead. Unless the Stitcher people are listening, in which case, why would you ever do that? Stitcher's interface, so nice. PFpod.com, Papa's Football Podcast. That is the football show Howard and I do. Again, every episode, just like in Papa's Basement, over at pfpod.com. And look up Papa's Football Podcast on the same places I listed for Papa's Basement. P-A-P-A apostrophe S is the spelling of Papa's, by the way. Last but not least, spookiescomic.com. That is hosting The Spookies, a comic I do with a buddy of mine. Go ahead and check it out. If you found the show funny, you'll probably like the comic as well. All right, till the next one. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.